Let us pray. O Christ, our familiar stranger, you meet us on our way and will not let us go. As we listen to your incredible tale this morning, give us your deepest blessing, so that washed in hope and grace, we may lose our fear and be a church that lives by your love, ready to share that love with the world. Amen. Things were not as they seemed that morning so long ago. For one thing, nothing was where it was supposed to be. The stone that was supposed to be blocking the entrance to the tomb where Jesus' body lay had been rolled away. And Jesus was not where he was supposed to be, in that tomb, lying there wrapped in a shroud, dead as the cold stone that held him. The grief those women brought to the tomb was real enough. Just a few days earlier, they endured the trauma of watching Jesus die, witnessing the agony of their friend and teacher as he suffered the weight of the world hanging there on a cross. In the numbness of their grief, they resorted to what they knew, to the rote practice of bringing spices to the tomb so that they might anoint the body, as if it mattered. They thought Jesus was dead, and no amount of spices and no amount of love could undo that death. But things were not as they seemed. The tomb was wide open, and it was empty except for two angels who suddenly appeared with words that the women should have expected but did not. "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember what he told you." As it turned out, there was a love big enough to undo that death, a love and power from God who would not let death have the last word, not this time, not any time. God would not let the powers of injustice prevail, those false accusations and the unwarranted murder. Things were not as they seemed. Jesus was not dead. He lived. Things aren't always as they seem. You might look at the pastors up here in our robes and our white stoles and our Easter best and assume that we know this stuff. You might think that after a couple of decades of Easter services, we've got it all figured out. So I was surprised when a new thought occurred to me this year, because it seems rather obvious. But somehow in my whole life as a Christian, I had never realized this particular thing. Jesus lives, present tense. No duh, my high school self would have said. Jesus lives, but he might not appear the way we think he would. He probably would not resemble that well-known portrait by Warner Salmon of a white Jesus with silky brown hair and velvety brown eyes. But then again, the risen Jesus might not look like a Jewish peasant from year 33 either. There are some who think Jesus takes the guide of a guardian angel. A friend of mine has spent the last several weeks at his wife's bedside in the intensive care unit of a local hospital. During this time, he has shared the deep wisdom that one of the ICU nurses has offered him, and her insights into healing and hope and care for the self and others, and about having faith in the midst of this despair have been extraordinary. And she has been a bearer of truth to him. Jesus brings truth to the world. Sometimes it sounds like good news. Sometimes it sounds like bad news, and sometimes it sounds like a challenge, but his voice has been heard through the voice of this nurse. Jesus lives in her. There are some who think Jesus takes the guise of a friend, the person who shows up when least expected and most needed, or the person who has known us and loved us over the decades. Or the person who reminds us who we are when we have wandered too far from our true selves. Christ lives in that kind of a friend. There are some who think Jesus takes the guise of a stranger, Author Kathleen Norris reminds us of a Russian Orthodox story in which an older monk says to a younger monk, "I have finally learned to accept people as they are. Whatever they are in the world, a prostitute, a prime minister, it is all the same to me. But sometimes I see a stranger coming up the road and I say to myself, oh, Jesus the Christ, is it you again?" It might be a great sleuthing game to try to figure out who Jesus is today or where he is. Perhaps like breadcrumbs along a path in the woods, he leaves us clues. There's a clue left for us on those occasions when humility collaborates with power. And there's a clue for us in those places where kindness overrules prejudice and fear. And there's a clue for us when someone confronts what is wrong, even at the cost of losing face. If we put all those clues together, we might find ourselves on the path to where Jesus is. So, on this day, on this Easter Sunday, on the 21st day of April in the year of our Lord 2019, where might we find Jesus? This morning, I don't believe we'll find Jesus among the lilies and the eggs of Easter because he has gone to Sri Lanka. Maybe in the guise of a medic, tending to the wounded and the bereaved amid the rubble of churches and hotels, praying for the dead and praying for those who killed them. In the ashes and puddles and charred timbers of Notre Dame, Jesus is there doing the work that he does of cleaning up the messes of tragedy, comforting those who mourn, all the while keeping an eye on those who do not receive the billionaire's dollars, who have hungered day in and day out in the shadows of that great cathedral. Jesus is there amid all of it. Jesus is with the bereaved congregations of Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, St. Mary Baptist Church, and Greater Union Baptist Church in Landry Parish, Louisiana. He will be with them as they rebuild thanks to the generosity of many. He is with them because he's never been contained to the church building. It is, as one of the pastors, Pastor Toussaint, said, "The church is not that building. The church is the people. If we stay together as a congregation, the church is alive and well. We can rebuild the building as long as we stay together." Jesus represents in those congregations. This afternoon, Jesus will be found at St. Francis Dining Hall on Southeast 11th Street, sitting with those who have no home and sharing a meal with them. Perhaps his fellow diners will recognize him in the breaking of the bread. Jesus is sleeping in a makeshift tent in Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Malawi, comforting those who are sick and grieved, whose homes and lives were destroyed by Cyclone Idai. Jesus sits at the head of a sumptuous banquet table in the mansion of a billionaire who has more than she needs and yet senses she still lacks one thing. Jesus is out on a hike in the gorge, taking time for solitude, rest, and renewal, giving thanks to his creator for the beauty of the natural world. And this morning, I tell you that Jesus is in you, too. I don't know what drew you to Westminster this morning. Maybe you come here almost every Sunday. Maybe you come here every Easter. Or maybe some still small voice that sounds like the voice of Jesus whispered to you, "Get up, skip brunch, go to church." I believe that each of us carries a bit of Jesus in us, that somehow when he rose, he shared himself, and we too are part of the ongoing work of resurrection. I think that has to do with what we in the church term call. Where is the Christ within us calling us to go? What is the Christ within us calling us to do? And who is the Christ within us calling us to be? It might seem that he calls us to come to church, but things are not always what they seem. Maybe the risen Christ is calling you to the work of hope, to advocate for those whose lives are in ashes and puddles, to offer your voice for those who cannot find theirs right now. And maybe the Jesus in you is calling you to go outside, to put down your phone and your tablet, to turn off social media and the angst of network news, to sit in the beauty of God's creation and just to be for a little while. And maybe the Christ in me recognizes the Christ in you. And together we go out and we bring light to those places that have been obscured by injustice and secrecy and lies. There are those who look around the city and look around the world and think that everything is going to hell in a handbasket. But things are not always as they seem. They are better. Christ is alive, walking the earth, standing in line at the refugee camp, sitting with children separated from their parents, praying with people of three faiths in Jerusalem, waiting in a jail cell, sitting at the tables of families that don't really get along but gather for Easter dinner anyway, standing on the chancel steps, singing the Hallelujah chorus. Christ is risen, and he lives right here, right now. It is as poet Lois Chaney said, "Every morning just before dawn, for thousands of years, little grim people, preachers and bankers and storekeepers and students, sneak up to the grave and roll back the stone to seal it up tight. And every morning God roars, 'Oh, no, you don't,' and flings it wide open. And out walks Jesus all over again. Out stalks the grinning, striding Jesus. Tight-lipped little people hover all day around the tomb and cover it with incense and bow before it and walk before it and sigh before it and pray to it and sing to it and weep to it and lean on it. And no one notices, or they pretend not to notice, the living, breathing, walking, talking Jesus out on the edge calling, 'Hey! Hey, you!'" Amen.